in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. And when the soldiers had finished crucifying Jesus, they took his clothing and divided it into four shares, one for each soldier. His undergarment was seamless, woven in one piece from the neck to the hem. Why would John state that the undergarment of Jesus was in one piece? It's kind of a weird statement. Oh, no, it's not. It is not a weird statement that the undergarment of Jesus was in one piece. You want to know why? Because the high priest's undergarment in Israel was in one piece. And the real high priest is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the high priest. He is the Lamb of sacrifice. He is the altar. Oh, he is the high priest. And what did they say about this undergarment woven in one piece from neck to hem? They said to one another, instead of tearing it, let us throw dice to decide who is to have it. In this way, the words of the scripture were fulfilled. They shared out my clothing among them, and they cast lots for my clothes. This is exactly what the soldiers did. I will tell you that every word of the scripture that's prophesied of Jesus must be fulfilled. Every prophetic word that the scripture gave us must be fulfilled from the Old Testament. It must be fulfilled. And I will tell you also, every scripture that talks about his coming in glory must be fulfilled. Must be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and children disobedient to their parents and then the increase of knowledge in the last days. Oh, yes, they must be fulfilled. That many would come in his name saying that he was the Christ. Yes. All these things must be fulfilled. I tell you, to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. Yes, even to the point there will be a problem with buying and selling. Oh, yes, and that there will be a number that will be put on people's hands, or if not on people's hands, they would take pictures of our eyes. And unless we are in the machine, the 666 machine, you might not believe any of this kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, I never did either. But I'm telling you, it's so real right now. It's so real. It's so real. But I'm telling you, this is much more important. We're going back to the cross. Going back, they cast lots for his clothing. Yeah, the high priest's clothing. They didn't know he was the high priest. But you know what? What does it say in Isaiah 53? Even as he suffered, he was making intercession. Intercession. For us. This is exactly what the soldiers did. Yes, exactly. I love that word, exactly. Now let's take the next line. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. If you are to understand the cross, you must be underneath the cross. To understand the cross, you must stand under the cross. And I'm not telling you're going to really understand the cross. You'll only understand it by one drop. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. She understood the cross more than any person in humanity. How do I know that? Because the prophet Simeon said, and the sword shall pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many may be laid bare. Yes. And that sword of sorrow pierced her soul as she saw her son hanging on the cross. What mother, seeing her son dying, does not die with him? What mother, seeing her son pained, does not experience pain with him? What mother, seeing her son crucified, does not experience the sword of sorrow? I tell you, she experienced the sword of sorrow. This is not Catholic. This is biblical. This is Simeon. This is the prophetic word. And I tell you, every prophetic word must be fulfilled. Exactly. Exactly. It must be fulfilled. As I said, they divided his clothes and they cast lots for his clothes. And this is exactly what they did to fulfill the scripture. The scripture must be fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying? Need the cross that Jesus stood his brother. Today, if you want to know the cross, know the crucified, you must stand beneath it with Mary. You must stand beneath it and look up at the crucified and let that blood drip on you. Let that blood from his head drip on you. That blood from his shoulders drip on you. Let that love of God shown through the blood of Jesus, let it fall on you today. And with his mother stood Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Oh, they all were under the cross. You want to understand the cross? You say, Mother of Jesus, what did you experience? Mary Magdalene, what did you experience? Mary, the wife of Clopas, what did you experience? You might say these people are dead. No, no, no. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus spoke to Moses and Elijah, and Moses was not dead. Elijah was assumed, but Moses was not dead. Elijah went to heaven with the fiery chariots, you know, the whirlwind. Moses died, and Jesus wasn't talking to the dead, I tell you. He's talking to somebody who's very alive. Mary, Mother of Jesus, what did you experience? Mary Magdalene, even as he died, what were you feeling? You had 7 demons. What were you feeling? How desolate were you? Were your tears streaming down your face? Were you crying out? Let me share as I stand under the cross. Oh yes, a sword shall pierce your own soul, that the hearts of many may be laid bare. I've never heard anyone preach that outside of a Catholic. You want to know why? It's not in our theology if you're not Catholic. But I'm going to tell you, it's biblical, it's real, and it had to be fulfilled. Exactly. Why do we leave out things? Like, why do we leave out things? Same with Catholics. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why do we leave out things? It's the word of God. You know, we all get so very, very, we all get in our own little corner, you know, and this belongs to me. But we leave out things. No, it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing, the whole scripture. We leave them out because they don't suit us. They don't. How do I fit that into my theology, that a sword would pierce the heart of the mother of Jesus? How do I fit that into my theology? It's real. Ask any mother who goes to jail to visit her children. Ask any mother what they experience. They who gave birth to these children. Let me also tell you, St. Paul tells us, you have many teachers, but you have only one father. You have many teachers, but you only have one father. He was talking about himself because he begot these people through the preaching of the gospel. I know what he's talking about. I know what he's talking about. How many people have I brought into the new life of grace through the preaching of the gospel? How many? Only God knows the number. But there have been those people that have been so special that God has done great things in their life. And then I see them. I see them what? I see them wandering away. I see them looking not at the best, but for the third best. You know, for the approbation of men and women. And the approbation of the world. I see the compromise, and you want to know what it does to me? It makes me sick inside, because I see that they're called even greater than I. They're called greater than I. I see that they've had visions. I see that they've heard from God, and then you know what? The devil comes. Oh, the devil comes, and he doesn't come looking like the devil. He comes looking like the honors of the world. And even the honors of the church. What does that do to me? I tell you, it tears me up. Compromise is the name of the game, I'll tell you. That's the devil's game. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to compromise. I'm not telling you I never have, because I'd be a liar, okay? I'd be a liar if I told you I haven't compromised. When I sin, I compromise. Compromise is the name of the game of the devil, and I'm going to tell you how many people. I've been involved in this since 1968. I've given birth to many people through the proclamation of the gospel. I've seen it. I've seen how God has used people, and then they're drawn away. Maybe they have to carry the cross. Maybe they have to be different, you know, and they don't like that. You think I like it? Do you think I like being different? Oh, in my flesh, I would like to be like everybody else. Listen now. Cookie cutter. I would like in my flesh to be a cookie cutter priest like everybody else. But I can't do it because I'm not better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. But there's a call in my life. And if I followed my flesh, I would be the most miserable person in the world. Not that I could be a cookie-cutter priest, I tell you. You know what a cookie... Everybody looks alike. Everybody... You know... And you know, this is what they say about cookie-cutter priests. He's a nice guy. We don't need nice guys. We need prophets, priests, kings, proclaimers of the gospel. We don't need any more nice guys. We got enough of them. We need people to tell us the truth. Draw a line in the sand. This is the way to go for salvation. We don't need nice guys. Jeremiah was not a nice guy, I'll tell you. Isaiah was not a nice guy. And Jesus Christ was not a nice guy. He's the Holy One of Israel. Nice guy. Don't need any more. Church is filled with them throughout the world. Don't need to be nice. You need to be truthful. You need to be loving. You need to share your heart. You need to proclaim the gospel. You don't need to be nice. You need to be broken. Yeah. And you don't even have to try to be broken because we all are. Oh, my Lord. I tell you, I've given birth to many of them, men and women. And so many I've seen drift away. And they were called to greater things than I. Greater things than I. But the world, the flesh, and the devil is so real. Seeing his mother and his disciple that he loved standing near her, Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, "Behold your mother." Yes, she's my mother. Whether you like it or not, she's your mother too. Because when he gave her to John, he gave her to us. That's right. When he said to Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven," he said that for us too. When he said, "Behold your mother, behold your son," that's for us too. And from that moment on, the disciple made a place for her in his home. Have you made a place for her in your home? Have you made a place for her in your life? Oh, not on a pedestal. The pedestal is the cross. But beneath the cross, Jesus, stood his mother. Have you made a place for her? It's a question. After this, Jesus knew that everything had now been completed. And to fulfill the scripture perfectly, again, to fulfill the scripture perfectly, every scripture must be fulfilled. He said, "I thirst." Do you know he thirsts for you today? They gave him vinegar, but he thirsts for you. You might say, "I'm vinegar too." That's right, he wants you. You might say, "I'm sour." That's right, he wants you. You might say, I'm miserable. That's right, he wants to change you. I thirst for souls. I thirst for men. I thirst for women. I thirst for children. I thirst that the gospel be proclaimed. I thirst that people come to know me. I thirst for my church to love me. I thirst. Will you satisfy his thirst by giving your life to him? Will you satisfy his thirst by, you might say, "It's all sour"? Well, he wants it, and he wants to make it sweet, but he's the only one that can do that. Don't compromise. Stand under the cross and hear him say, "I thirst for you. I thirst for you. I thirst for you. I thirst for you. I thirst for you." Will you satisfy his thirst? Don't worry about what he's going to call you to. I used to worry he was going to send me to Africa. Now I want to go to Africa. Isn't that amazing? I learned about that many years ago when I was afraid he was going to send me to Africa. And you know what someone said to me? "You know, Tom, he is never going to send you to Africa the way you are now, because you'd make those Africans miserable. Unless he put Africa in your heart, he's not going to send you there." That's right. A jar full of vinegar stood there, and putting a sponge soaked in vinegar on hyssop. Hyssop, come on now. Do you remember what they did on the Passover? They got hyssop, and they placed hyssop, the blood of the lamb, and put it on the doorposts. Do you remember that? I do. Why does John say hyssop? Oh, the fulfillment, the fulfillment, the fulfillment, the fulfillment. He's the Lamb, and his blood was shed upon the cross. And those stand underneath the cross, beneath the cross, have redemption, the forgiveness of their sins. And after Jesus had taken the vinegar, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." Do you know it is finished? It's the finished work of Christ. Do you know it's the finished work of Christ by grace? Do you know it's finished? He took it all. No more suffering after he said it's finished. He took the lost man into his broken heart, the lost woman into his broken heart, the lost child into his broken heart. It is finished. It is accomplished. It is finished. Do you know it's finished? It is finished. Let it be finished in you. Let it be finished in you. Let the finished work of the blood take root in you. Let the finished work of the cross take root in you. There's more for 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 you. It is finished. But will you satisfy my thirst? For I long for you. 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 It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He released his own spirit. No one took it from him. You remember what he says? He says, "No one takes my life from me. I give it up, and I will take it up again." No one took his life. He gave himself up for you and me and for our salvation. It's finished. And it was preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. You know, when the sun set, it would be the Sabbath and it would be the Passover. And to prevent the bodies remaining on the cross during the Sabbath, since the Sabbath was a day special and solemn. Why? Because of the Passover. The Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken away. And consequently, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, then of the others. But when they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. And so instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. Why didn't they break his legs? Because the Paschal Lamb at Passover had to have a complete body. A complete body. No broken bones. You read it in Exodus 12. They did not break his legs. He is the Paschal Lamb. He is the high priest. He is the altar. He is the sacrifice. Hallelujah. And when they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. And so instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a lance. And immediately they flowed out blood and water. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. That's mercy, mercy, mercy. That's mercy, mercy, mercy. Blood and water. And this is the evidence of the one who saw it. That's John. And it is trustworthy evidence. And he knows what he speaks. For he speaks the truth, and he gives it so that you may believe, that you may believe. I speak this so you may believe. Stand under the cross and say yes to him. Stand under the cross and say yes, because all this happened to fulfill the words of the scripture. Not one bone of him will be broken. That's the Paschal Lamb. And again, another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. My friends, every word will be fulfilled. Every word will be fulfilled. But will you be a lover of the Lord? And will you quench his thirst? That's the issue. Father, we come to you through the blood of the Lamb, and we come saying, Lord, we aren't worthy, but here I am. Do with me what you want. Just do with me what you want, as long as you do it. As long as you do it. Nobody else but you. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. And Lord, I don't want to compromise. I don't want to compromise. You see, I'm really blessed because because I would never be chosen by the world to be special. So I don't have that temptation. And I would never be chosen by the institution of the church to be special. I'm really blessed. But you know what? Part of me doesn't like that. I'm always honest with you, okay? And that part has to be crucified with Jesus. I thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time, proclaiming the gospel. Let me also tell you this. I need to hear from you. We've sent out our Easter letter, our Good Friday letter. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And we will have Mass a Good Friday in the evening, and then the Holy Saturday service in the evening. Come and worship with us. Come and worship with us. He is the Lamb that was slain, and He loves you. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.